friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you. The blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. He can be. In fact, He can be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. Debbie and I want to thank you for tuning in today, for choosing to join with us on this little radio program to share as we do in song and word. And we trust, like, well, what was that gentleman's name? Lord, I remember listening to him from down in Tennessee when I was a young man. Willard Wilcox, he used to say, hopefully this will be an investment for, you know, for an eternity. And that's what I want. That's certainly what I want. I've opened my Bible to the book of Matthew's Gospel. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 27, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first book of the New Testament. And I'm going to read one verse of Scripture out of chapter 27. It'll be verse 22. And then I'll ask you a question. Listen, sinner friend, if you tuned in today, you tuned in to the right program at the right time. God must be dealing with you. God, listen, is speaking to your heart without a doubt. Look, you may have raised this morning on your way to a Christless eternity, to a devil's hell. But if, friend, you make the right decision, if you answer the question that I'm going to ask you, that the Word of God asks in the right way, you can change your destiny, and how amazing that is. Well, Deb's got a song tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is, Get Ready. And friend, I'll tell you what, that's what you need to do. Jesus is coming, just like we used to play when we were kids, that game, Ready or Not, Here I Come. Jesus is on His way. Look, don't be late, don't miss it, because He's coming, and He wants me and you to do what Debbie's saying.
Get ready for the trumpet, get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet when He calls us away. I have heard the story about Jesus and His love, how He died on Calvary so that we could have a home above. I do not understand it, yet I do. So get ready for the trumpets, get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet.
Just like I said, ready or not, He's coming. And the question is he coming for you? If you have repented of your sin and by faith received Christ as your Savior, if you have trusted in the finished work that Christ accomplished at Calvary, listen, if you have asked God to be your Savior in light of what Christ has done, He'll be that, friend. He'll be that. You need to get ready. In the book of Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to look at verse 22. What a great verse of Scripture this is. Listen, it is the words of Pilate. We'll say more about him in just a moment. But Pilate saith unto them, speaking of the chief priests and the elders, that delegation from the Sanhedrin, those Jews, friend, that had brought an accusation to a Roman governor, a Roman potentate about Jesus, it said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Here's the text for the message today. Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself what Pilate asked. He said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Listen, sir, listen, ma'am. I'm here to tell you today that this is the most important question you'll ever consider. Oh, I know there's questions, other questions in the Bible that would match this same kind of description, just like the one that the Philippian jailer asked when Paul and Silas was in his inner prison. What must I do to be saved? Hey, listen, friend, I want you to know this question today will determine everything else there is about you in this life and in the life that is to come. Let me tell you something. People say sometimes, I'm just not going to do anything with Jesus. Well, look, you can't be neutral about Him. Let's just face the facts. You're either for Him or against Him. Now, that doesn't mean that you're standing in open rebellion against Him, that you're marching against Him, or that you're leading a cause against Him. But you can't be neutral with Jesus. You've got to either be for Him or against Him in some manner. Oh, Christian, oh, sinner friend, listen. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You know what my desire is today? My desire is that you'll do the right thing. And let's face it, as we look at the characters represented here in this passage of Scripture and this account of the crucifixion of Christ, this morning and day that our Lord was crucified on. Hey, friend, we come across and are presented with a number of people or groups of people that represent, I believe, all of us. I believe if we go to the cross, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe if we go to the cross, friend, we'll find ourselves in some way represented. I believe we were all there. You say, where, preacher? Well, if in no other place, without a doubt, we're there represented in the two thieves that hung with Jesus, one on the left of Him and one on the right. Hey, friend, ask the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now look, we're going to look at these people that the Word of God identifies. And if you look in verse 1, where we run into the chief priests and the elders. You know who these people were? They were the religious elitists of that day. No doubt that they were Pharisees. And no doubt, friend, there were some Sadducees there. I know they're called the chief priests and the elders, but it was the leaders, the people, no doubt, that made up the Sanhedrin. And oh, aren't you glad to know that not all of those who were Pharisees followed just the common idea among them? Hey, there was always somebody like Nicodemus who heard Christ, who believed Him, who may have been a secret disciple far too long. He just wasn't following the common thinking and rejecting of Christ of that day. All those chief priests, listen, the elders, they were solid in their opinion about Jesus. They knew what they would do with Him. They would kill Him. They would murder Him. They would have Him crucified. That's what they cried out. Oh, they had tried him in their own kangaroo court at Caiaphas' house early on the morning after that they had arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before. They had brought in false witnesses against him and couldn't find anybody to agree him the same. And all these false witnesses that were found said, well, this deceiver, by the way, he wasn't a deceiver, said, destroy this building in 3 days, raise it up again. That wasn't an untruth. He wasn't lying. He was speaking of his body and he proved it just 3 days later. Hallelujah. But the elders and the chief priests, they had decided what they were going to do with Jesus. They'd get rid of him. They'd kill him. They'd do away with him. Hey, I got news for you. You listen, friend. You can never do away with somebody that is eternal, unchangeable, immutable. Oh, listen, how foolish they were in their conclusions of what they would do with Jesus. Can I tell you what, friend? They'll have to stand before him someday. He stood before them in a kangaroo court, as I've already said. And this whole day, it looked like Jesus was on trial, when in reality, it seems to me, all of mankind was on trial, even you and I, sir, ma'am. But all the chief priests, they wanted rid of him at all costs. Didn't matter what it would take. Didn't matter what they would have to decide and do. Didn't matter the deception that they would have to partake of and the means by which they had to pursue the help of Rome. They wanted rid of Jesus. And boy, I'll tell you what, they followed through with their desire. What about that man by the name of Judas? We find him in chapter 3. Oh, look, Judas was a unique fellow, was he not? It was prophesied that somebody would have to take his bishopric. It was prophesied that somebody would have to not just deny him like Peter did, and we'll find out about him shortly if time doesn't run out, but somebody would have to betray him. Somebody would have to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver, for the price of a slave, if you will. And it was Judas Iscariot, the man whom after Jesus prayed all night, chose among the 11 to make him the 12th, that made up that body of men the Word of God refers to as the apostles. And John tells us, looking back on the series of events, looking back on the life of Jesus and those that he had brought close to him, he said that Judas was a devil from the beginning. Isn't that amazing? Oh, listen, friend, Judas sold him out. Nay, hey, listen to this. Judas knew him, but he did not know him. Oh, how sad that it is. There are people today, multitudes of them, and you may be one of those, sir, ma'am, that think they know Jesus. They think, well, I know enough about him to know I don't want him. What kind of individual is he? He was just a man. He was just a prophet. He was just a preacher. Oh, we're hearing so many things today. Bizarre things on the internet. Bizarre things that men are saying about Christ. Oh, friend, people think they know him, but they don't know him. Ah, listen, of all the gods that there is in the world, and there is only one true God. Listen, friend, he's the one that wants to be known and wants people to know him reverently. Listen now, intimately, personally, surely, oh, you may know him without knowing him. And that was Judas Iscariot's problem. And you know what he did with him? Judas did the wrong thing. He sold him out. Listen, friend, he sold him out. Oh, there's been too many times that Jesus has been sold out. Do you know that? Kind of like, who was it? Jacob, that sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Oh, friend, ask yourself the question. This question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What about that man by the name of Pilate? There there's a certain part of me that just absolutely melts when I begin to think of Pilate. He was a victim of circumstances in many, many ways. But you know what Pilate did? Pilate did what a lot of people have done. Maybe he's done what you're doing today. Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that Pilate was convinced about Jesus on some things. He said multiple times that I find no fault in this man. Oh, I believe Pilate got under as deep a conviction that morning when Jesus had been brought to him into the hall of judgment where he sat as a representative of Rome. I believe with all of my heart, he was stirred to the very foundations of his soul. I believe, listen, friend, as he stood in the presence of God incarnate, he could not have but, friend, realized that this man is different. This is more than a man. Oh, is he a king? I believe he is. But I'll tell you what, he's not a king like I've ever met. His kingdom must not be of this world. And Jesus told him these things, did he not? Listen, Pilate was no dummy. Pilate was an intelligent man. He was an accomplished man. He was a confident man. He may have been cruel. He may have gotten where he was in a way that maybe you and I would not want to mimic, but he was no dummy by far. Oh, he knew he had to deal with Jesus. He was in a place that he'd rather not be. And you say, preacher, that's where I'm at this morning. This message has brought me to a place that I realize I'm going to have to do something with Jesus, and I don't want to. Oh, listen, friend, ask yourself this question. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? It's personal. It affects us eternal. And your determination of Him today will be what affects His determination of you in that day that you stand before Him. He stands before you today, calling, pleading, if you will, inviting you to accept Him. And oh, you need to make the right decision. You know what Pilate did? Pilate washed his hands of Christ. Pilate said, I'll have nothing to do with Him. Pilate delivered Jesus up to be scourged, delivered Him up into the hands of the soldiers to do with Him as they would. He thought he would rid himself of Jesus. But oh, one day, in the great day of reckoning, Pilate will stand before Him and to hear Jesus say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, sir and ma'am, your eternity, I listen, is hanging in the balance today. Your determination as far as where you'll spend eternity is determined today on what you do with Jesus. The answer to the question that I'm proposing that you ask, what about this man by the name of Barabbas? Oh, listen, friend, listen. Pilate was in a dilemma, was he not? And Barabbas, I don't know, in many ways, listen, his own decisions had gotten him here. But I'll tell you, listen, he didn't have a decision about Jesus and Jesus taking his place at the cross. I find Barabbas to be an amazing character. We run into him here on the day of Christ's crucifixion. And I believe that he represents you and I. You say, how's that, preacher? Well, look, friend, the Bible never tells us what happened to Barabbas after this. All we know is that a man by the name of Jesus took his cross. The people cried out, crucify Jesus and release Barabbas. And hey, Barabbas didn't have any choice in it. Can I tell you what? I believe the reason the Bible doesn't give us any information on Barabbas as to what happened to him after that day. Did he accept Christ? Did he reject Christ? Did he go back to his own ways? Did he become a great follower of Christ? Hey, friend, I believe the reason the Bible doesn't tell us is simply this, that it's letting me and you decide. I believe Barabbas represents all of us. So what will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? The soldiers, you know what they did? Listen, friend, they were somewhat removed from who He was. They were disengaged. They were caught up in their service. They were caught up in another crucifixion. To them, Jesus was just another man. A man that Rome had found guilty. A man that the Jewish nation did not want. A man who had a condemnation upon him. A man who was sent, if you will, to the gallows. And you know what they were going to do? They were going to do their duty. They were going to do their dues. And they were going to do it, friend, without emotion. They were going to do it, friend, just as if they had done it to other men before. Oh, how sad that it is. There the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was put in a position in the Gabbatha of playing a game. It's called the game of the kings that the soldiers played. They stripped him, put a robe of purple upon him, gave him a reed as a scepter. Hey, they matted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They bowed their knee and mocked him. They spat upon him. They took the rod that they had given him and smote him in the head. They plucked his beard. Oh, they humiliated him and abused him. Oh, the soldiers, they thought they were just simply removed from him. They were disengaged. But I'll tell you, friend, listen, they did the wrong things with him. They did the wrong things with him. They didn't spend time investigating. They took another's ideology of him, another's thoughts about him. Oh, friend, listen, yet there was one on that day, a centurion that had seen multiple people die on a cross somewhere, maybe at Calvary. And he said, listen, now that I'm watching, now that I'm seeing, now that I'm speaking for myself, he said, truly this was the Son of God. What about Simon of Cyrene? There he was in Jerusalem, probably come up as a proselyte, if you will, to celebrate one of the three festivals that the Word of God, the law of God, commanded all the males of Israel to come before God in Jerusalem. And there he was, an innocent bystander, if you will. He was gotten, he was enlisted. He was volunteered, if you will, to carry the cross after Jesus. Oh, sinner friend, ask yourself the question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Can I tell you, friend, we ought to do what Simon did. Simon of Cyrene. You know what he did? He followed Christ. He bare the cross after him. I mean to tell you, this Simon of Cyrene did something that changed his life. Can you imagine the story that he had for his wife when he went back home, had to tell her the events of that day, at that time in Jerusalem? Oh, maybe he still had the stain of blood on his robe that he wore, or the coat that he had on. Maybe he took it home and said, look, honey, this is his blood, my Savior, the Son of God. Ah, listen, what will you do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You can pass by him and mock him. You can scoff him and say many things to him. You can encourage him to come down. You can encourage him to do things, friend, listen, that you think would convince you to make up your mind that he's the Christ. But if he would have done what they asked, it would have defeated the purpose. Pilate followed, or Peter followed afar off. False witnesses, listen, gave their wrong statement about him. But let me end on this. There was one man that did the right thing. He was a thief. He was one of the two thieves, the malefactors that were hung with Jesus on that day. I believe that he was hung on the right of Jesus. And you know what he did? When he started that day, he had the same mindset of everyone else. I mean to tell you, he cast his teeth in Jesus and said, like his partner in crime. If you be the Christ, come down and take us with you. But as he watched things unfold, as he watched how this man that didn't look like a man, but he was God actually incarnate, as he watched and listened to the series of events that transpired before his eyes, as he read the accusation that Pilate had nailed over the head of Jesus on his Christ, which read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Oh, as he listened to Jesus pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Oh, ask yourself this question, sinner friend. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Do what the thief did. Accept him. See him for who he is. Believe him for what you read about him. Hey, he is the Savior dying. He is the Savior suffering in my stead and your stead. And today, friend, if you'll just take him as your own, do you know what he'll do? He'll save you. He will save you, and he'll do it now. Oh, listen, friend, I pulled the wrong song up, but that's okay. I'll get to the end of the program in just a minute. But oh, listen, sir, listen, ma'am, I'll tell you what, you need to make sure you do the right thing with Jesus. You need to accept him and trust him as your Savior. Ask him to remember you, and you know what he will?
You are my Savior.
He will. Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.